What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 41. Today, we're doing part 3 of our 5-part series on the 5 worst foods for you. And we're talking about Doritos. And that might sound funny, but it really goes into artificial flavoring and how that whole industry is just a bunch of chemists trying to trick our brain into thinking we're eating stuff that we're not. So we're going to go into that and why that's actually an issue that should be addressed and why you should know more about that. But first, let's do a little check-in. So, Tom, how's your week been?
It's been a pretty good week so far. So I'm going to start with actually, before we get into bad foods, I want to talk about a little healthy food that I just discovered. So we've talked about the benefits of eggs all the time. We both eat eggs all day, every day, pretty much.
Yep.
So I was at the grocery store the other day, and I came across Heritage Breed eggs. Usually these eggs are like $10 a dozen, so I've never bought them before. But they were on sale for about $5 a dozen. I was like, oh, that's a pretty good price. Like, let me check them out. And I also bought, I think, a pasture-raised egg. That's usually my go-to. They're usually about $4 to $5 a dozen, depending on the brand.
That's usually what we recommend to people is to get is pasture-raised.
Well, I thought pasture-raised was about as good as it gets. So I take them home. I cook them both in the same pan. I cook 4 of each just to kind of compare and contrast them. And oh my God, it was such a big difference. Like just the color of the yolk, it was so much darker. It was so much a darker orange compared to the pasture-raised eggs. And you can tell a clear difference between even just like a cage-free egg and a conventional egg. And you can tell another really big difference between a pasture-raised and like just like a cage-free organic. This difference was bigger than like a pasture-raised compared to a conventional egg. Like it was just night and day how dark that yolk was. I didn't know egg yolks could get that dark. And that just means that there's a lot more vitamin A in those heritage breed eggs. There's more other vitamins and like better more omega-3s in it. So it's just like a higher nutrient density egg. So I was like, man, I should set my game up. I didn't even know I was kind of like lacking there.
And I've never even heard of heritage eggs. So why don't you, what's really the deal with that?
So around starting in the 40s, and it's been getting perfected ever since then, we used to have a bunch of different types of eggs or a bunch of different types of chickens. And then around the 40s, we started a competition called the Chicken of Tomorrow. And that was basically how can we just make chickens bigger and more uniform. So there's a big competition going through the 40s and 50s to breed like what people consider to be a perfect chicken. And like now, chickens are really uniform. We have basically 3 types. We have the chickens that we eat. Those mature, grow super fast. Like the chicken that you're eating is 1 to 2 months old max. Like they just grow really fast. Then the other chickens are the ones that lay eggs. Those are pretty small. And the reason that those chickens are small is because all their energy is going to producing eggs instead of just growing bigger. And then there's heritage breed, which is basically just every chicken that hasn't been, I guess for lack of better terms, genetically modified to be one of these other type of chickens. So it's just like an older, much more natural type of chicken. So, of course, they're healthier because we haven't fucked them up like we messed up every other food source.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I was thinking, he showed me a picture of the eggs, and it's clear, you know, very clear difference between the yolks of the heritage eggs and the pasture-raised eggs. And, you know, there's a lot. We just don't treat chickens right at all. That's why that's one of the reasons, besides the nutrition factor, why I don't eat chicken myself. But, like, there's just factory farms with chickens, and they're feeding them everything under the sun. And it's because there's money in there. You know, you make these chickens as cheap as possible. You sell as much as possible to make as much money. But with a heritage chicken, there's no way there's, huge farms full of heritage chickens. These are all going to be most likely local, most likely small family farms that are raising these heritage chickens, making it even more both friendly to the chicken and friendly to our health.
Yeah, like why would you buy a dozen eggs for $9 when you can buy like two dozen eggs for like $2?
And they look the same. They're just little circle, white circles.
Yeah, from the outside. I mean, yeah. I don't really know how many people are comparing them like I did and are just like looking for the most optimized diet out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, like just doing it that way, just check those out. So that was good. And another good thing that I discovered this week is Monsanto. Fuck Bayer. Fuck Monsanto, by the way. Luckily, California is not agreeing with the EPA saying that glyphosate and Roundup is okay. In Oakland, they just awarded a couple $2 billion with a B dollars for a couple that got cancer from using Roundup for over 30 years on their property. Thank God. California doing it right.
I know. Yeah, I saw this. I saw the headline. I actually didn't read the article. Did you? So like, what's the, these are just like a mom and pop type thing, like for their garden?
So they have three properties and they've been using it to kill weeds on their properties for about 30 years.
Oh, wait, they're not like farmers, nothing like that.
It doesn't say that they're farmers, but okay. It's estimated that they spray 1,500 gallons of Roundup in the 30 years.
Shit.
Both of them developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That's what the other case that we talked about, that gentleman had the same disease. So yeah, they're both getting awarded $1 billion each, and luckily both of their cancer is in remission, so it looks like they might actually live to spend some of that money.
Man, that is... So the other guy got almost half a billion, right?
He got, I think it was 280-something million.
Oh, okay.
So this is more money. I guess they've been using it longer than the other guy. I don't really know what the difference is, why they made so much more money off of it, but good. I hope these lawsuits keep coming out. Monsanto keeps having to pay out billions of dollars. They deserve it. And they finally go under.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, we talked about before with the, like, I guess, $200 million that to Bayer, that's not a lot of money. But if you keep catching L's that are $2 billion, nobody can keep that up for that long. Not even like Apple.
Between three people, that's $2.8 billion.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money. And there's a lot more than three people that are using this.
Yeah. Man, so that cancer is obviously rare, so they're able to tie it back to this fairly directly.
Well, I'm guessing since that first person won it,
there's been a precedent.
Exactly. Yeah. So now I've been watching the Sharks are in the playoffs right now, and during the Sharks games, there's class action lawsuit commercials against glyphosate, against Roundup.
Oh, is there?
So there are lawyers that are trying to, you know...
Smell blood in the water.
Yeah. So, hey, there's a class action lawsuit. You get 100 people on this class action lawsuit. What is that, $100 billion
we got to pay out? Yeah, we're getting close to $1 trillion.
Yeah, that will bankrupt a company.
Yeah, for sure. Wow.
Because who's going to want to be like part of that? Like all the stakeholders are going to want to sell all their stocks. They're not going to want to be a part of it.
No,
like, oh, wait, I have to pay out $1 billion? $1 billion just over and over again?
Not today.
Yeah, so it looks like the EPA doesn't have our back, but the Bay Area judges do.
Cool. I mean, I guess... There's pros and cons living in California for sure, but I'll take that one.
Yeah, definitely. I was really happy. I was like, oh, good. My area, too. Doing it right.
I have I'm not sure I ever even told you this, but a little theory, and it's not my own. I actually heard it, but it just makes sense that Monsanto obviously involved in glyphosate and just the corn business, modifying corn, GMO crops, things like that. And from anybody... If you just look at the data, you just look at what's going on, it's pretty clear that it's not healthy. It's pretty clear that it's bad for the environment. We agree.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, it's not like it's tricky. You know what I mean? It's not really...
There's not a lot of nuance to that conversation.
No, it's pretty clear. So, one of these people, they were talking on a podcast, and they're like, I wonder why, like, they're still going down this route. They're destroying soil. And once our soil goes... Everything goes. Like, we need topsoil for grass, for cows, for vegetables, for everything. And their theory was that they know this, and they're going to run the soil so far down that they're going to be forced to grow crops, like, inside. Like, on, like, I forget the term for it, but, is it, not a hydroculture, what is it? It's water and dirt combined. I forget the term for
hydroponics
it. Hydroponics? Hydroponics, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, something like that. But just pretty much develop a way, again, and they'll patent it, that we have to grow crops and grow food indoors that they control. So eventually, once the soil is so bad, because they're going to ruin it, they're going to control the entire food chain. And that's some, like, evil genius shit.
That's, that's some James Bond villain shit. Creating a bigger problem, and you're the only one that has a solution.
Exactly. It's like, I'm going to create this disease, but I'm already going to have the pill. You know what I mean? And I'm going to sell everyone the pill. And I'm like, man, I kind of believe it, because it's just, how evil can you be? Man, the science is there, and it's just obvious that this is not good for anybody.
I just don't understand how people can have more loyalty to a corporation, something that's doesn't really exist. It's not an actual thing.
No, it's just an agreed upon imagination.
Yeah, other than like the people on this planet and the planet itself. Like, we are the ones that matter. Like, don't have your loyalties be to a corporation, because that corporation will fire you, like, in a second. They don't have your back, so why would you show them that type of loyalty?
Yeah. No, yeah, it's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand that.
Like, socially, what lies do we agree upon? What things do we agree exist and don't exist? You know what I mean? Because Bayer doesn't exist. We all just agree that this company exists. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, so what's new with you?
Oh, God, nothing that deep. But the biggest thing, like, my week, you know, like I always say every week, is like Groundhog's Day. And I genuinely like it that way. But I have been having, just eating so much heart. That's like my primary, like, lean meat I go to. That's like my chicken breast is beef heart. And I do that just because it is more nutrient dense. And if I'm going to be eating a diet, I want to have it as nutrient dense as possible. But I had my butcher recently start grinding the heart up for me, or grounding the heart up for me. So I get ground heart now. And I tried it this week for the first time. And it was actually good. Like, it tasted just, I mean, surprise, surprise, it tasted like ground beef. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that bad. But if you didn't know, the heart is surrounded by a thick layer of saturated fat, or predominantly saturated fat. And it's just something about it, the taste, I just don't like it. Like, it coats your mouth, and it's almost like eating, like, Play-Doh.
Like, is it like a buttery taste, kind of?
Fuck no, I wish it was a buttery taste. It's like a, it's like chalk. It, like, sticks to your teeth. It sticks to the top of your mouth. And it'll coat your mouth, like, 20 minutes after you eat it. So when I cook my heart, I cut off pretty much most of the fat so I don't have to eat it. And I just don't think they did that when they ground the heart up for me. Because I was cooking it up. It was, like, drowning in fat. Like, I had to drain my cast iron skillet a few times. And it just was not, like, a pleasant experience from that sense. So I'm going to try. And, you know, next time I talk to them, tell them to cut the fat off. But that was, I mean, talk about having an easy life. That was my main problem this week. You know what I mean? So
are you making, like, patties out of it, or are you just cooking it up and then just eating it with, like, eggs, something like that?
Yeah, well, fuck, I wish I was having eggs. Eggs are, like, too fatty right now for my lean days, but I just cook it all up, and I stash it into, like, 1-pound containers, and then I just eat it 1 pound at a time by itself.
Okay.
Yeah, straight. So, and yeah, it works. Like, it's super lean, and it's still healthy as far as from vitamin and mineral standpoint. So I like it, and I'm glad. I'm going to keep getting it ground. It's way easier than eating it, you know, whole, because it is just so chewy. And I found out that actually heart has the most collagen and the most, like, connective tissue out of any, like, quote-unquote muscle meat, because the heart really is just a muscle. So it makes sense, you know.
Is that because of all the chambers and all the separation and all the, I have no clue. Structures that go into it?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. But it makes sense why it's so chewy.
Yeah.
It's so, like, it's just filled with connective tissue. So, even in my own sense, eating heart made me think about it. It's almost like a supplementing with a collagen, because there's so much collagen in it. So, that was kind of cool. I didn't know that. So,
yeah, I wasn't aware of that either. And it's the best source of CoQ10 out there. So, for any athletes out there, or anybody that's sick and trying to be healthier, I mean, hey, take care of your mitochondria. That's, like, the best thing you can do. Have that CoQ10. That's a great supplement right there.
It really is. Yeah. And if you're interested, we talked about it in the podcast. Just search CoQ10 and you'll find a whole episode just on that. It's a great little nutrient. But yeah, this week, let's get on to the topic is Doritos, and specifically artificial flavoring. And I personally don't know a lot about this topic. So Tom's going to really run the show here, and I'm going to learn a lot along with you. And I don't know. I'm interested. Like, we all know, like, no one says Doritos are good. No one says Cheetos are good. We know they're bad, right? But, like, what about them are really that bad?
So, most of the resources for this material come from a book called The Dorito Effect. It's a book just talking about basically how artificial flavors have destroyed what we think about food. The book's by Mark Schatzker. I don't really know if I said that right. I probably didn't. Sorry for butchering your name. But yeah, it's a great book. We'll link to it in the show notes. So let's just start with what Doritos are. They're made from cornmeal. Cornmeal is sprayed heavily with glyphosate. We literally just talked about how that causes cancer. So that's bad in itself. Corn is turned into glucose by the body. We just did a podcast on how bad extra glucose is for the body. So hey, two strikes right there. And it's also high in gluten, an anti-nutrient that leads to a leaky gut. Glyphosate does the same thing, so you're doing a 1-2 combo right there.
Yeah, double whammy for sure. And if you're interested in learning more about gluten, turn into next week's podcast. We're going to talk about donuts, and we'll touch more on what gluten does to you there.
Yeah. And then that's just the cornmeal. Now, so we're already at three strikes.
Yeah, because we don't, like, people ask us all the time, you know, oh, corn's a vegetable. We say corn is trash. Do not eat corn. It has little sugar pellets that have been sprayed in poison. So we almost put corn on this list straight up. But since Doritos are just corn wrapped in some weird flavors, Doritos kind of took their spot. So there's nothing healthy about corn.
You can't eat corn normally. Like, you just poop it out. You can see it.
Yeah,
like,
it's visible.
Yeah, your body doesn't digest it. So you have to make this cornmeal out of it, similar to what we do with wheat. Like, you have to grind up the wheat.
To process it.
Yeah, to make it edible. And if you have to do so much to a food, it's not really edible.
Yeah, like, it was never designed to be eaten.
Yeah, you can eat it, but it doesn't mean like that you're getting optimal nutrition. And that's what we're all about, is just optimizing your nutrition.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll keep you alive, but not in the best way.
No.
So besides those three strikes, now it's cooked in vegetable oil. The very first thing we talked about is how bad these industrial seed oils are. So it was just a combination of already crappy foods. And that's not even what we want to talk about today. What we want to talk about is how, starting with Doritos, artificial and natural flavors have just hijacked the way we think about food. So just starting off, there really is not much of a difference between natural flavors and artificial flavors. I know that word natural sounds good. It makes, oh, hey, it's from nature, but there's really nothing natural about it. So if you were to get like vanilla flavored ice cream, unless you're getting vanilla bean and it states vanilla bean in it, that vanilla flavoring is coming from a pine cone. So whether that's through some chemical processing, that would be artificial flavors, or if it's, you know, just getting filtered out to get that extract to make it taste like vanilla, that would be more like a natural flavoring. You're still not getting vanilla. You're getting vanillin, which is just like a fake flavor.
From a pine cone.
From a pine cone.
See, that's crazy. Not too many people are going to know that. They see natural flavors, oh, this is good. They see artificial flavors, say, oh, this is bad. Or if you're, you know, on the up and up, you say this is bad. But we're pretty much saying both of them are pretty much the same.
There's no nutrition from a pine cone. I don't know any population anywhere that's eating pine cones.
No. I don't even think, do squirrels like pine cones?
I don't know.
They like nuts, right?
Yeah, I don't know if any animal eats pine cones.
I don't think so.
I don't think those are food. No. So yeah, just kind of, basically the comparison that the author makes in the book is, if you were to walk across the Golden Gate Bridge and get into San Francisco, you're in natural San Francisco. But if you were to drive across the Golden Gate Bridge, you're in artificial San Francisco. It's like, no, the destination is still the same. It's just the process getting there is what the difference is.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So let's just talk about, like, what is flavor? So flavor is just how we know that there are nutrients there. So, like, something like steak, it tastes great because it's very nutrient dense. You got a lot of B vitamins. You got omega-3 fatty acids, omega-6 fatty acids, both of which are essential.
Yeah, ask me what I put on my steak.
What do you put on your steak?
Salt. I don't need any sauces. I don't need any. I can eat steak straight up, but most people can.
Yeah, if you didn't have salt, would you be like, I'm not eating steak today?
Not at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So something like chicken. What do you have to do to chicken to make it taste good?
God, everything under the sun.
Dip it in some breadcrumbs with a bunch of seasonings. Fry it in some sort of fat. And then dip it in some sort of sauce. The reason you have to do so much to chicken is because it tastes bland. And the reason it tastes bland is because there's, like, no nutrients there. Like we talked about earlier with the chickens. You're just eating a big baby. You're getting protein and water and not much else. Maybe some fat. But, yeah, you're not getting, like, your omega-3 fatty acids. You're not getting that good of an omega-6 profile either. You're not getting anything essential out of it other than the protein.
Yeah, so that's why, like, when how many people do you see eating chicken breast love in their life? It's pretty much bodybuilders trying to just gain muscle and lose body fat.
Most people will complain about dieting because what they think of as dieting is chicken breast and broccoli.
Yep.
And I hear more people complain about being sick of the chicken breast before the broccoli. And I don't know that many people that really like the taste of broccoli either.
Yep.
So that's just basically it. Like, a good rule of thumb around, like, flavoring is the more natural flavor it has, and by natural, I mean what Mother Nature gave it, the better it is for you.
Because the foods that we are designed to eat are going to taste good.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot of nuance to that. Like, no. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Like, why do you think, I mean, this goes back to my whole carnivore regimen, I guess, but try and feed broccoli to a three-year-old.
Oh, they hate it.
Oh, no shit. You know what I mean? But try and give your baby, like, a butter stick. Oh, the butter's gone. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. It tastes good. So.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of like, if you just go around the grocery store and, like, oh, hey, what tastes the best naturally on its own without added stuff, that's probably the best stuff for you.
Yep.
So, like, a good way to look at this is just, like, a fine dining restaurant versus fast food. So, fine dining, their main focus is on making delicious food, and they usually give you small amounts. So, like, if you were to get a filet mignon from a steakhouse, you get, like, a 6-ounce cut. Not a very big piece.
Yeah, and you're not getting, like, a 16-ounce.
Yeah, and if you get a side of, like, some mushrooms with it, it's generally pretty small. It's not a very big plate. But when you walk out of there, you're feeling good, you're feeling satiated, and you're not hungry again in a couple hours. That feeling tends to last. Like, oh, hey, I had a good meal. I didn't eat 6 pounds of food. I didn't eat, like, 3 plates worth. But you feel good, and, hey, like, that feeling lasts. When you go to a fast food restaurant, you supersize everything. This stuff doesn't fit in a plate. Like, it doesn't even fit. The French fries don't even fit in, like, the carton. They're, like, overflowing into the bag they give you. You eat all of that. You walk out. You feel bloated. You feel tired. Like, your brain just feels dumber. You just have that foggy head. And then you're going to be hungry again in, like, an hour or two. The difference there is not only just the taste. The fine dining food tastes so much better, but it's the nutrient density. You're getting all these. You're getting a lot more B vitamins, A vitamins. You're just getting an entire nutrient-dense food. You're getting all your nutritional needs covered versus the fast food, where it's probably creating more deficiencies than it's really solving.
Yeah. I mean, I think something I say a lot, like, a lot of our clients, eating a lot of food is hard for some people, and I get it. You know, it's not hard for me, it's not hard for you, we're a little different, but some people want a protein shake. And, you know, hey, in certain situations, like a whey protein shake post-workout, fine. You know, if you're getting home late and you don't want to eat, you can't eat, have a whey protein shake, go ahead. But when your body is digesting that protein, which is fine, it'll stimulate muscle protein synthesis, it will repair or at least help repair the muscles you just broke down, but it's going to be robbing you of vitamins and minerals needed to process those amino acids, right? And you're not getting those amino acids, or excuse me, those vitamins and minerals in the protein powder. So in a way, it's a net negative. Yes, you're stimulating muscle protein synthesis. You are rebuilding muscle, but you better replenish those vitamins and minerals in your next meal, or you're just going to keep double dipping into your own supplies. And eventually you will become nutrient deficient if all you have is like a protein powder, or in this case, like a chicken breast. You're not getting all the vitamins and minerals needed to properly absorb and assimilate those nutrients.
Yeah, Mother Nature's got this figured out. Like, my post-workout meal is generally eggs. Like, it's hard to get more nutrient dense than egg. So let's just talk about, like, cravings for a second. You know, like, so cravings are our body's way of telling us that we're lacking in something. So when we crave something sweet, maybe it's because we have low energy, or maybe our mood is down, so we're looking for that dopamine hit. I mean, if you think about when you're depressed, you go for something sweet, and that's because you want that dopamine hit. You're going for some ice cream. Or, hey, it's a celebration, we're partying, we have some birthday cake, you know, raising that excitement even higher because of that dopamine hit that goes along with it. Or another time that we'll crave something sweet is, like, first thing in the morning when we're tired. That's when people reach for donuts. That's why, like, donuts is a popular, like, morning-type food. So cravings can be so strong. So, like, women that live on tropical islands that combine to an island, so their food sources are limited, they've been known to eat dirt and mud because their cravings for minerals were so strong. Their deficiencies popped up because now they're eating for two. Most likely, it's due to magnesium deficiency. Magnesium's in the dirt. It's a great place to get it. If, you know, you're walking around barefoot,
is it a great place to get it?
Well, that's where plants are getting it from. Plants get it from that.
Then we get through them. Yeah.
But since soil is becoming more magnesium deficient, that's passing it up the food chain to us.
It is. Yeah. Was that in the book about the dirt?
Not the magnesium part, mm-hmm. but just they'll eat dirt and mud.
Really?
He doesn't get too much into a lot of, like, the science with this. Like, it's, some of this is me connecting the dots off of what I know.
Oh, magnesium, yeah. No, 100%. That makes sense.
I don't think they were... I don't know what else they'd be lacking.
Yeah.
That's in the dirt.
I know animals, they'll go for... they'll lick rocks sometimes when they're deficient in salt. So there's certain rocks that are high in salt, and they'll do that. So it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, he brings that up in the book as well.
Yeah.
And then... another thing that cravings can cause is sailors, when they were suffering from scurvy, when they finally land on land, they'd go and eat moss from trees. They'd eat whatever plants they could get their hands on. The first thing they see is this big moss like patch on a tree. They go and eat that. And according to them, that was like the best meal that they've ever had. Crazy. Like,
that sounds so gross.
Oh, I know. But hey, when you're low on something, you need it.
Yeah. No, I guess this is a good time to go into vitamin C. So... this is something... Has anyone talked to you about vitamin C yet? Maybe tell them you're zero carb?
Not too much, because I try to avoid those conversations as much as possible.
Okay, yeah. I've had that brought to me a few times. You know, what about vitamin C? What about vitamin C? Because obviously people know that there's no vitamin C in meat, right? They just know that. Even though they know jack shit about nutrition or health or training, but they know there's no vitamin C in meat. There is vitamin C in meat.
You need your oranges. You need that orange juice.
Yeah, exactly, right? You have to have every day with orange juice, or start every day with orange juice to get your vitamin C. That's just simply not true. But vitamin C is important. I'm not saying vitamin C is important. It is. But it's especially important on a higher carbohydrate diet. That's because vitamin C is a cofactor. That's what vitamins are. They're cofactors for our enzymes to produce a product. So vitamin C is a cofactor for our body to produce collagen. And collagen's important everywhere. Think hair, skin, nails, of course, that's where collagen comes into play, but also like in our gums, in our mouth, one of the telltale signs of scurvy is having bloody gums. And also collagen's a main protein in our bones. Like, our bones are not just calcium, right? They'd be just chalk, they'd fall apart, but collagen's would actually give them flexibility and gives them strength. But what was a problem with these sailors is they would eat a very high carb diet. So they pretty much eat a lot of processed bread. Because this type of shit, it doesn't go bad, right? If they're going to cross the ocean in 6 months, they need something that's not going to spoil. I mean, Lord knows they should have just fished, but, you know, that's a whole different story. But they would eat a lot of bread. And the thing is, like, Mother Nature knows where to pair what with what. So if you're going to be eating a lot of vitamin C, it's going to be in things like fruit.
Yeah, so these sailors were eating lots of carbs, but they had no vitamin C to back it up with. So they were suffering from old injuries that were already healed. They become fresh again. So imagine you got a cut before your trip. Now all of a sudden it starts bleeding again. Or you had a broken bone. And then all of a sudden it's rebroken, basically. So like all these old injuries that they already thought were healed were starting to pop up again. That sounds absolutely horrible.
Horrible.
I don't know how many old injuries I've had in my lifetime, and I'm not living the life of a sailor.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they have a ton more injuries.
Yeah, way more bruises, way more broken bones, for sure.
I mean, these people, this was deadly to many people, and this just, oh man, that sounds like a horrible way to go.
Yeah, really.
I don't even know how they would make it across if so many people were suffering from it, because I can work under those conditions.
A lot of people didn't. Yeah, a lot of ships, a lot of sailors died, and scurvy was, it was a real problem, man. Like, once we started having access to processed carbohydrates, scurvy kicked in big time.
Yeah. So once they did land, they would eat whatever they could. I mean, and like I said earlier, they were like the best tasting foods ever. And it's not like they were eating foods that I would consider delicious. They were eating onions, radishes, and moss. So I've never heard somebody talk about how delicious like the moss at their Thanksgiving dinner was. That's just not a thing. Or even just like onions and radishes. People aren't saying like, oh man, you gotta try my mom's onions.
Can't wait for those radishes tonight. Yeah, exactly. Never. So.
Yeah, and it's just they were so deficient in it, and that vitamin C, that it tasted so good for them. That's why, like, cravings, hey, they're powerful.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely powerful. And just a little, I guess, a little science on the whole vitamin C and glucose thing. So these sailors want a high-carbohydrate diet. So glucose and vitamin C, they kind of fight for the same receptors to get into our cells. And the thing is, with these high carb diets, obviously the blood glucose is going to be elevated. And just even if your blood sugar is not elevated, if you have a blood sugar of 100, you're going to have 166 more glucose than vitamin C in your blood supply. So just from a number standpoint, vitamin C can't keep up, right? It's crazy. And just think, after a post-meal blood sugar after, say, a bunch of bread, is going to be 150, 200. So you can pretty much double that to 300 times more glucose than vitamin C. So... also, the ingestion of sugar causes our kidneys to become vitamin C wasting. So that pretty much means their kidneys didn't filter back any vitamin C into their blood supply. So you'd constantly need to replenish vitamin C through your diet or supplementation to replace what was lost. So they were getting hit on both sides. There's a bunch of glucose in their blood, so their cells weren't soaking up vitamin C, and the glucose told their kidneys to dump extra vitamin C, so they just weren't getting enough both ways. It's just rough. I mean, that's a shitty way to go. There's about 10 milligrams of vitamin C per pound of ruminant flesh. So per about a pound of beef, you're going to have 10 milligrams of vitamin C. And that's more than enough to prevent scurvy. I mean, there's people out there who genuinely think 1 milligram of vitamin C is enough, but they've never tested it that low. They've tested 10, and 10 was plenty to prevent any signs or symptoms of scurvy. So these RDAs of vitamin C that are around 100, 100 plus are based off some whack science. 10 is more than enough to prevent any issues from vitamin C deficiency.
Yeah, and it makes sense that your body would flush it, because if you're eating a lot of carbs, you should be getting a lot of vitamin C with it.
Exactly.
More than enough. Yeah, I don't know where in nature you can get the carbohydrates without the vitamin C.
Yeah, no, there isn't.
Yeah.
And if there is, we don't know about it. Yeah.
I mean, it's not human food if it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the next thing I want to talk about is something called nutritional intelligence. So everybody's like taste buds change over time. Something that sounds amazing to you today might sound disgusting tomorrow. Like it just changes over time. And that's because our needs change over time. One day we're low in magnesium, the next day we're low on vitamin D. So we're going to be craving foods high in magnesium one day, something higher in vitamin D the next. This is kind of, it makes sense. It's logic. So they did an experiment with cows versus cow nutritionists to see who was smarter, who can make a healthier cow. So in one group, the cow nutritionists made what they considered to be like the ultimate feed for them. So it was a blend of grass, oats, and barley. And the other group of cows, they had the food separated into different like feeding troughs. So the cows could still eat the same ingredients, but they would choose how much to eat of each one. So basically what happened was the cows knew their needs better than the scientists that thought they were outsmarting them. So the cows that were able to pick their own food grew faster, which is a good thing because these were like younger cows that were trying to grow older. We weren't dealing with adult cows. We're dealing with like adolescent cows. So growth is a good thing at this point. They were overall healthier and they even ate less food overall. So they were getting bigger while eating less, which seems to fly in the face of that calories in, calories out logic.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's just because like cows could know what they need based on how they feel. Oh, hey, you know, this food tastes better than this one right now. It's probably because this one has more nutrition, or at least more of my needs at this moment than the other one. So they don't have all the nutritional advice. They don't have stuff like that. They just go off of their feelings. And unfortunately, humans do have nutritional intelligence, but thanks to all the nutritional advice out there, the food pyramid, the guidelines, the standard American diet, our brains are out there trying to outthink our feelings. We've been told vegetables are so good for so long. And hey, there are some benefits of vegetables, but they aren't supposed to be eaten every day, all day, because there's seasons for a reason.
Yeah, it's something I think about a lot, actually, is just the wordage we use when it comes to diet advice. And I mean, I guess at fault with this as well, because I talk about protein, carbs, and fats a lot as well. But if you would go to any sort of indigenous tribe, say go to like the Maasai in Africa, they're well known in the carnivore community as being an animal-based diet. They're healthy as shit, strong as shit, they're huge people. And if you ask them like how many carbs you get in a day,
oh, they don't know.
They'd be like, what? But grams of protein, like you get your minimum grams of protein, right? They'd be like, what? They don't even use those words. They eat when they're hungry, they stop when they're full, and they know what to eat because it tastes good. It's not like, it's just this, the way we talk about food has complicated it so much that people can't even listen to these like innate cues that we have in ourselves. Like, oh no, butter tastes good, but it's bad, I can't eat it. It's like, no, your body probably needs vitamin D. You probably needs some of these fatty acids, but no, we can't have it because butter's bad. The way we talk about food has just kind of messed everything up.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And just to show that humans do have this nutritional intelligence, it's not just cows. There was a study done in the 20s, called the Clara Davis Orphan Study. So 15 children participated in this nutritional study. They're coming from either like teenage moms or children that have lost their parents. So the longest children that participated in this study was for 4.5 years. So they were given over 30 dietary options coming from all natural sources, something like yogurt, fruit, vegetables, various type of meats. There were no processed foods, nothing like bread, nothing like cereals, none of that stuff, all just natural, real foods. So, and they were also like, not, the children were not guided to eat a certain way. There's no food pyramid poster. The other scientists participating in the study, they weren't like, you know, eat your vegetables, nothing like that. They were just up to their own devices. So in the beginning, the children would eat a little bit of everything. So I'm gonna have a little bit of this fruit, a little bit of this vegetable, some yogurt, some of this cod, some, you know, just a little bit of everything to figure it out. And then after that, it's the same pattern seemed to emerge throughout most of the children. They would eat a lot of fruit and a lot of meat. And that seems to make the most sense because, hey, fruit helps you grow. We talked about this last week. If fruit's a very energy-dense food, it makes you get fat. Well, hey, if you're a growing child, you should eat a lot more fruit. That makes sense from that standpoint. And it also has a lot less anti-nutrients than some of the vegetables. So, hey, you're not going to be getting stomach aches from it. It's a good thing. And then the meat overall, it's got all your protein, all your essential amino acids, your essential fatty acids. It's fitting your nutritional needs. And it would be very easy for these children to develop a nutritional deficiency. If like one of the kids decided like, hey, I don't like meat, I'm going to go vegan. Well, a vitamin B12 deficiency would pop up. That never happened. All these children were considered to be exceptionally healthy. Just blew every scientist out of the water. Nobody was thinking that these kids, they were like toddlers, basically.
Yeah, we're not talking nutritionists. We're not talking college-educated people. We're talking just people eating how they felt.
And we're also talking about coming from, like, poor mothers. So it's not like they were getting the best of genetics probably passed on.
Yeah, they didn't hit the genetic lottery.
Yeah, these were just kids that were already given a short stick, and they were able to figure this all out and become incredibly healthy. One of the children even came in with rickets, which is a vitamin D deficiency, and he ate cod liver oil every day until his symptoms cleared up, and then he never touched this stuff again. So that's like the clearest example of this nutritional intelligence. Oh, hey, this food tastes delicious to me because I'm deficient in it. Oh, once I solve that deficiency, it doesn't taste good to me anymore. So, hey, our bodies are incredibly smart. You should listen to it. Shut your brain up every now and then and just listen to your body. Go off of how you feel.
You know what, though? I know you say that, and I agree with you, right? But so many people's metabolisms and even just their mental health have been hijacked for the past 20, 30, 40, 70 years of their life. If they went to a grocery store and they listened to their body, where would they go? The ice cream aisle? The cereal aisle? That sucks.
Okay, that is a very good point. And that does lead into our next topic. So artificial flavors have hijacked our nutritional intelligence, unfortunately. So this is a study done with goats and phosphorus. So first thing they would do, the goats would be put on a diet to become phosphorus deficient. So after that, they separated the goats into two different groups. One would be fed a maple-flavored feed. The other group would be fed a coconut-flavored feed. And then after that, after the feed, they would pump phosphorus directly into their stomachs so the goats wouldn't be able to taste the phosphorus. So it was just the maple feed, they were getting phosphorus, or they were getting coconut feed, and they were getting phosphorus. So then after that diet was done, they would give them maple-flavored feed and just their regular feed, and there didn't really seem to be any preference either way after that phosphorus deficiency was cleared up. So the maple flavoring kind of like lost its intrigue after a while, or the coconut flavoring lost its intrigue after a while. And then after that, they would make them deficient again, and then they would give the goats an option of the maple feed versus the coconut feed. And the goats that were already disposed of or had the maple feed with the phosphorus connection earlier, they'd go for that maple feed. The coconut-fed ones went for the coconut. They didn't touch the maple. And they would just overeat, because there was no phosphorus being pumped into their stomach anymore. So they were associating either that maple with the phosphorus or the coconut with the phosphorus, but this time they didn't give it to them. So they would just overeat this stuff because they were no longer getting their nutritional needs. They thought they were. The flavor was there, just the nutritional background wasn't there. And that's basically what we've done when we've done with the artificial flavors.
Yeah, so their brain was telling them that phosphorus is in here. Just keep going. Even though they're, from like a caloric standpoint, I'm sure their stomachs were full, but they still weren't getting the nutrition they needed to cure their symptoms.
So this is a good example of this, and we talked about this last week. So, hey, maybe we need some vitamin C or another antioxidant. Hey, we're getting sick, or hey, we're trying to grow right now, so we want some glucose. So we're craving some fruit. So, hey, I've had an orange in the past. There's a lot of vitamin C in an orange. There's a lot of antioxidants in this orange. It's good for me. So, hey, next step, I go to the grocery store and I just like look around. Oh, hey, here's an orange colored drink. Okay, that, I'm starting to walk towards it. Hey, there's even pictures of oranges on the drink. Oh, there's got to be oranges. I'm making that association with that. And then, like, so our body thinks, like, hey, orange drink, pictures of oranges. It smells like oranges. It tastes like oranges. There's got to be this vitamin C. There's got to be these antioxidants in the drink. Problem is, it's Sunny D. There's no oranges in that. There's no vitamin C in it. Or actually, they add
any real vitamin C.
Yeah, exactly. There's some added vitamin C, but like there's not all the benefits, the antioxidants that come with a real orange. So you just drink it. Okay, the taste is there, but my nutritional needs aren't met. So that craving still exists. You can down that whole gallon of vitamin C, or I mean the Sunny D. Hey, you're still going to be wanting more because that, hey, what that need for that vitamin C was never addressed. And that's where artificial flavors come in.
Yeah, hey, they've hijacked it.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we did with the goats. We're doing it all the time. So the book, The Dorito Effect, that's called The Dorito Effect.
That's it, huh? That's crazy. I mean, there is something that I use a term. Actually, it's not my own word. I don't know where I picked it up. But actually, it's called internal starvation. And you'll see, I mean, shit, man, you see it everywhere. How many people you walk down the street there, 200 pounds, 300 pounds, 400 pounds, huge people, and they're hungry?
It makes no sense. They got all this fuel on them.
Makes no sense. They could literally not eat for months and they'd be fine, right? They have enough calories on them. So why are they hungry, right? What's going on there? And the term internal starvation is that they're eating this food. Let's say they're eating McDonald's or they're eating Doritos in this case, right? They're getting calories, yes. They're getting enough energy to survive, yes. But they're not getting the vitamins and minerals needed to survive and to thrive. So their brain is telling them, keep eating, please keep eating, in hopes. It just crosses its little brain fingers, and it's like, maybe I'll get the vitamins I need. Maybe I'll get the protein I need. Maybe I'll get the fatty acids I need in this next meal. And you know what? We're really good at storing fat. I'll just store these calories as fat. Whatever I'll do, I'll pay that price, in hopes that I get what I need in this next meal. That's the only reason why these people are so heavy yet so hungry. They're just not eating nutrient-dense food. And again, not in every case, but in most cases, that's what's going on, internal starvation.
And when we're lacking in any of these micronutrients, we have one trigger, and that's hunger.
Exactly.
We don't have a lot of triggers for other things. And thanks to artificial flavors, we don't even know where to find these foods anymore. So, hey, maybe you associate chocolate with magnesium, but if you go for milk chocolate, guess what? You're not getting magnesium.
Yep. That's actually something I use a lot with a lot of people that talk to us or fill out our questionnaire. Do you have a sugar craving? Like, are you, like, people tell me all the time, or excuse me, a chocolate craving. You know, I had a lady recently, she worked with us in the past, maybe a few months ago, and then she came back, and she was, you know, I just can't stop eating chocolate. I can't stop eating chocolate. And I said, okay. I was like, what we need to do, let's start working together again. I'm going to put you on so much magnesium, you're going to be swimming in this shit. And on it, that's what we did. And her cravings went away.
Well, she takes too much magnesium, she'll literally be swimming in shit.
That's true. That's a good point. Magnesium does have a laxative effect for real. We both experienced that. But it cured her milk chocolate cravings and just her chocolate cravings in general. Because most people don't like the taste of dark chocolate. I get it. It's an acquired taste. But that's what's going on there. It's not that they, oh my God, I have a sugar craving, a chocolate craving. I'm weak. I'm weak-willed. I get this chocolate. I don't know why. It's like, no, you're fighting your brain. Your brain's telling you I need some magnesium, and you associate chocolate with magnesium, whether you know it or not. And that's why you just urge and you really need this chocolate. But really, just take some magnesium glycinate and see if that helps.
Yeah, and there's so many micronutrients in these like real natural foods that it's really hard for you to tell. Like, unless you're really tracking your stuff every day and are really in tune with your body. I'm not that in tune with my body. I don't know if there's anybody that's in tune with their body where they really know what they're
magnesium.
Yeah, what they're deficient in. Oh, hey, I'm deficient in phosphorus. I'm deficient in sodium. Like, yeah, who's got that stuff dialed in that, mm-hmm. you know, that type?
No.
So, like, you're just hungry, and you don't really know what you're deficient in. So it's really hard to be able to, like, track these type of things. So if you're eating these artificial foods, your body's thinking that it's getting it, but you're really just getting nothing. Like, the term empty calories pretty much applies to everything that comes in a box or a bag.
Yeah, because, I mean, specifically with Doritos, so what are Doritos designed to taste like?
So originally, they were just tortilla flavored. They didn't do very well. So they...
Surprise, surprise.
So the first artificial flavor that they had was a taco-flavored Dorito. So if you eat a taco, you got some ground beef in there, you got some lettuce, you got tomatoes. Yeah, hey, you got quite a bit of vitamins and minerals, you got some protein, you got essential fatty acids. Hey,
could your body live off tacos?
Oh, definitely.
Sure could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't be ideal. But
might be a little chubby.
Yeah, but you would be perfectly fine. If you were cooking those corn tortillas and like a healthier fat, you're eating proper beef. I mean, the worst thing is a corn tortilla. I mean, it's bad, but it's not completely horrible.
No, you'd live.
Yeah, you'd be fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't consider that an A-plus diet, but I wouldn't consider that an F either.
Me either.
Yeah, so I mean, like, there's, you know, quite a bit of nutrition in there. But if you make a Dorito, something that is cornmeal fried in vegetable oil, sprayed with glyphosate, like, now you're not getting any nutritional benefits out of it, and you're just getting, you're getting the flavor, so you think you are.
Yeah, your brain thinks I'm getting a little bit of beef, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of corn. No, you're really not. You're getting processed corn, so it's even going to hit your blood sugar even faster, and that's it. And don't forget about, like, the acrolein, which is, we talked about on the Omega 6 podcast. That's a biocide. That means it's toxic to all life. You're getting that on top of it. So it's like you're just getting this toxic crap and glucose. That's it. And your brain's like, man, what is this shit? It doesn't know what to do with it.
I'm so glad you brought up biocide. So the very most evil use of these artificial flavors comes to tobacco companies. So when I think of evil, I think of tobacco companies. So, I mean, this is how bad they are. Not only do they think doctors at one time thought cigarettes were safe, they thought they were actually healthy. They were smoking them in the doctor's office. They were encouraging their patients to smoke cigarettes. This was within the last 100 years. I'm not talking about the dark ages. This was in our recent history.
Not that long ago.
Like, hey, those medical schools that those doctors went to still exists.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they're called Harvard. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like this is, you know, a newfound phenomenon. All right, this is relatively new. So a lot of, not only cigarette and cigars do have some sort of flavoring to them, whether like vanilla, they'll have like some alcohol flavoring. They'll have some fruit ones, but not really. Those are mostly the vape pens that are almost all of them have some sort of fruit flavoring to them. So now if your body's low in antioxidants, a good source for them is fruit. So, hey, I'm going to go look for something that has like strawberries in it. So, oh, hey, this vape pen is strawberry flavored. So, hey, you could be craving your strawberry flavored vape pen, because your body associates strawberry flavor with vitamin C and other antioxidants. So you're going to hit this vape pen. All the damage from that smoke, that vape, actually increases your need for antioxidants. So now that craving actually enhances. So you're going to go to that product again and again and again, all day, every day.
It's like those goats eating that maple flavor feed. They didn't stop eating it. Their brains told them eventually they'll get what they need, but they never did. And these people smoking these vape pens, they won't either.
That is the most evil thing I could possibly think of. And making them fruit flavored, now children want to crave them too. Because children begin eating fruit at a very early age, so they're associating this sweet tasting, just toxic air with benefits. So they're going to crave them, even when, not even not talking about all the addictive properties that are already in it.
Yeah, exactly. And all the toxins they're breathing in it. Yeah, exactly. So you're pretty much getting a customer. I mean, this is chemical warfare. You know, they're doing whatever they can to get a return customer and a customer for whatever, 50 years.
Yeah, so you're going to be craving that product for a bunch of different reasons. Hey, I feel like I'm getting sick. I need this antioxidant boost. Or hey, you know, I need that nicotine. Just other different times. Oh, hey, I'm stressed. This is my little... What do you call that?
Yeah, like a de-stressor, like a squeeze ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're trying to get their hooks in you any way they can.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just pure evil right there.
No, that is pure evil. So in summary, Doritos suck. They're the carbohydrates, corn, covered in poison. There's nothing good about it. And Tom talked about these artificial flavors. I mean, can you recap it? What about artificial flavors? Just...
If Mother Nature didn't give it flavor, then it's probably not good for you. That's the best way I could summarize it.
Yeah, that's true. Because trust me, if these little pieces, these little chips weren't covered in this flavor, you wouldn't like them. You know, like you said, the traditional, the first Dorito didn't sell too well.
Yeah, honestly, like, the food that I eat today is almost minimally processed, if it's processed at all. I mean, I guess sausages are kind of processed.
You put through a grinder, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's processing. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than that, like, everything else is relatively natural. Mm-hmm. And all the food I taste or eat is fucking delicious. I don't complain about my diet at all. I love my diet. I've never been happier with the food I'm eating than I am now.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually. I know a lot of people, especially like in my little circle, they see me eating the same stuff every day and they think I'm depriving myself. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like, my body gets this food and it's like, man, thank you, bro. Like, you feel good. Like you said that term earlier, satiated. That's a feeling where you're not full, you're not gross, your body is content, and it's like, I got everything I need, now you can relax. Now, like in my case, now you can grow. And I'm like, thank you, boom. So that feeling is great, and that's why we eat the way we do.
And it lasts, too. It's not like, oh, I ate this, I feel bad, man, and then an hour later I'm hungry again. I'm barely ever hungry. Most of the time I just eat because, like, hey, it's that time of day.
And eating's enjoyable.
Yeah, I do. I look forward to it.
Yeah. Well, man, that's pretty good. I think it's a good little recap. Doritos suck.
Yeah, just Mother Nature. Rely on Mother Nature to provide your taste for you.
And you can replace Doritos with any other highly processed food. So, whatever. Cheetos, even like a cereal in the morning, Cheerios, anything like that, a granola bar. All these highly processed foods are going to fit in this box as well.
Yeah, I mean, even stuff like Gatorade, soda, like, I mean, those are natural or artificially flavored. Those aren't naturally orange. There's no oranges in orange soda.
No, definitely not. Yeah, there's no apple in that whatever apple Gatorade, not happening. Did you have a tip of the week?
Yeah, so this one pretty much was something that we wanted to talk about last week, but just didn't have enough time. So it's avoiding mixed drinks. So I want to start this off with saying that no alcohol is good for you. I know there's a lot of studies that say wine can help prevent heart disease, and that's simply not true. That's like a healthy user bias at its finest. So when people that drink wine generally also eat fish and vegetables along with that wine. When people buy beer, it's because they're going to pair that with some pizza. Well, guess what? Pizza's a lot worse for you. It's more likely to cause heart disease than that fish and the veggies. So that's where like wine can help prevent heart disease. That's where that comes into play. It's not actually healthier for you. It's the rest of the food in your shopping cart that's healthier than the beer drinker.
Yeah.
So, just want to say that.
You're breaking some hearts, by the way, by saying that.
I just wanted to say that. Like, I'm not saying that alcohol is good for you, but not all alcoholic beverages are created equal. Some are far worse than others. And the very worst type are mixed drinks, specifically like hard alcohol and soda, or like hard alcohol and some sort of like juice or some fake juice, something like that. So think of like a Jack and Coke or like a screwdriver, something like that. So what happens is our liver has to detoxify all that alcohol. Alcohol is toxic. And then after it's done detoxifying all that alcohol, you just gave it a bunch of fructose that has to pretty much process as well. So you're making your liver work extremely difficult. You got one liver. You don't want that liver working overtime every day, all day. That's a lot of work that it has to do. So,
and we just talked about last week that fructose in itself can cause non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And what does alcohol do?
Causes fatty liver disease.
Shit, man. That's a double dose, you know?
That's a 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah.
Just destined for fatty liver disease.
Yeah.
That's not good. But wait, there's still more that's doing. So besides just destroying your liver, like mixed drinks are extremely fattening. So we have a thing called like metabolic, is it like preference?
Yeah, you can say that.
So we want to like metabolize alcohol first because our body has absolutely no use for it. We can't store it. We can't put it in muscle. We just need to get rid of the alcohol. So after it's done using the alcohol for fuel, I know that's not really widely talked about because, hey, alcohol is not a preferred fuel source. We're only using it just to get it out of the body. Next step is sugar. But since it's processing that alcohol, now you have high blood sugar until your body's done processing that alcohol or metabolizing that alcohol. So you have heightened blood sugar.
And we know the problems of that. Again, last week, glycation, advanced aging, diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and high blood sugar is a problem.
So any fat that you consumed within like the same window, you're just storing all of that. So, hey, if you had a burger and now you're having a Jack and Coke like right after dinner, yeah, all the fat that came with that burger, that's getting stored. And then, since you have high blood sugar, some of that high blood sugar is getting stored as fat as well. So you're really just packing on the fat right there.
And how many times when you went out and drank beer, do you go for, oh, I'm drunk, and you'll get a hamburger after? I need to soak up the alcohol. How many times do you hear that?
Oh, exactly. Or the next morning, too, yeah. If you're, like, hungover. And if you're hungover, that means you still have some blood alcohol. That means your body's still not done processing that alcohol. So that means you probably have high blood sugar at the same time, unless your body's converted all of that into fat. And it's just, like, it's a horrible combo. So, like, what can you drink instead? I guess the best option would be, like, hard alcohol by itself. So just, you know, taking a shot every hour or so, something like that. Well, actually, I guess the best option is just don't drink.
Yeah.
The next best would be just hard alcohol, just, like, a shot every now and then. Like, a general rule is, like, the more distilled, the better. There's a reason why the good stuff is more expensive. You know, like, hey, don't be going for those plastic handles. You know, go for something a little bit more top shelf if you can afford it.
Yeah.
The next best option, I guess, would be wine. I mean, at least you're getting some antioxidants with the wine. And red wine has a little bit less sugar than white wine and fewer, more antioxidants. But, you know, we're splitting hairs at this point. It's not like one is a lot better than the other. I guess beer would be the next best option. But it kind of just depends because how well do you do with gluten? Because there's gluten in beer. A lot of people have a lot of GI issues from beer. You know, they get bloated. They get maybe diarrhea afterwards. So it just kind of depends on how your body responds to beer. And when you do buy wine, buying organic is a good idea because wine grapes are heavily sprayed with glyphosate. And I don't know how many times we talked about how bad glyphosate is.
A lot, yeah. We try and avoid that as much as possible. And yeah, you're talking about, well, first off, a lot of the antioxidants in red wine are, your body's not going to absorb that much anyways, but they are there and that does make it a better choice, right? But this healthy user bias is crazy. So all these like epidemiological studies, these are studies with like questionnaires and they're honestly shit. And I hate even calling them studies, but that's just the word associated with them. That's why, like Tom said, you're going to see wine associated with longer life and beer not, right? There's more to it than just the headline. But you will also see like beer drinkers having one glass a day or one shot a day will increase your lifespan by 10%, something like that. What that really takes into account is the hormetic effect of alcohol, right? Because alcohol, like you just said, is a stressor, right? It stresses our liver, it stresses our body, and in response, our body uptakes or up-processes its own antioxidant system, its own defense system, right? But how many stressors do you get in a day?
We're surrounded by, like, EMFs. We're breathing. And when I step outside, I'll be breathing in smog.
Right.
Even if when I'm trying to eat healthy, I'm sure my food is contaminated with some sort of toxin.
Something,
as well.
Right? And we both work out.
Yeah.
Working out in itself, that's a hormetic effect as well. We stress our bodies, and then in response, our body gets stronger. Right? It uptakes its own enzymatic systems that produce growth, I guess, and like muscle things like that. So we're giving our body enough stress as is. So these studies that are saying alcohol is good, it's pretty much the response to the stress is a response to the poison. Hey, bro, let's just cut out the poison and let's get that response from other ways, like eating healthy, like lifting weights, things like that.
Yeah, so just a major takeaway, just no alcohol is good for you. Like, hey, no poison is better than some poison.
Yeah.
But yeah, just mixed drinks are by far the worst.
By far the worst. Yeah.
We wanted to talk about that last week with soda, but we talked about it a lot already, so we just didn't get around to that.
Yeah, but that is a good tip, and that's something we tell our clients a lot. If you're going to drink hard alcohol, and preferably not that much. You know, try and remember your night if you can, you know. But yeah, I guess that's a pretty good show. All done. Next week, we're going to be talking about donuts. And donuts is like everything we talked about into one thing.
There's absolutely nothing good about a donut. I mean, I think it's probably the worst of the worst because, like you said, it's a combination of pretty much the top three toppings that we already discussed.
Yes, it is. It's artificial, it's high in sugar, and it's high in these omega-6 fats. So we're going to be touching on that and why you should honestly never eat donuts. I mean, the more I know about this stuff, I can't eat donuts anymore. And it sucks because our maple bar is delicious.
And they're so cheap.
Oh my God, they're so good and they're so cheap. But I just can't do it anymore, man. I care about my health too much. I don't want to get diabetes. I don't want to get Alzheimer's. I don't want to be obese. So I really, you know, donuts just aren't worth it. So hopefully after next week's podcast, we can ruin donuts for you. But yeah, until then, you can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. So feel free to reach out.
Yeah, please subscribe to our podcast. We're on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play. And remember to subscribe to our website, to our emailing list. That way you can get all the tips of the week and all our podcasts that just get emailed to you right when they come out. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.